What a week. Tell you what, it's hard to believe that in just a little over 24 hours, we're coming together to observe the Lord's Passover. You know, at this point, we should have properly examined ourselves. We should be fully prepared to come and keep the symbols. You know, with the Passover in mind, today I will be reviewing a subject that will benefit us all as these final hours tick away to the beginning of another holy day season. You know, it's my hope that it will help make your Passover a little bit more meaningful as it's done for me. I'll be sharing with you something that was a very painful trial for my family, but in return, God used it to teach us a very good lesson in His love. You know, it's a rare occasion to hear me talk about this, so bear with me, but there's a lot of painful memories associated with it. But I've come to see that, just like you have, that sometimes God requires us to go back and revisit, remember, and think to learn, because when, in fact, when we look back, that's when we learned a trial had a lesson. When we couldn't see it before, God reveals it to us. So before I share this experience, I want to start out this afternoon by reading three very familiar scriptures to set the tone. You don't have to turn to them, but we'll start out in the most quoted scripture in the world today. John 3, starting verse 16. John 3, 16 states, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but through Him the world might be saved." The next scripture, Romans 5. Romans 5, 8. "But God demonstrates His own love towards us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And finally, 1 John 4. 1 John 4, verse 9. "In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." These three examples express the depth of the love our Heavenly Father has for His entire creation. The love described here in these verses speak of an active, a sincere love, and it's available to each one of us. When we come to the Passover, we as God's people must fully understand the fullness of that love. One way is through the symbols that we take each year. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but it's vital that we rehearse before we attend the Passover that love. We know that it began long before by two supreme beings who would form the greatest father-son relationship this world would ever witness. It's evident in today's society that the main focus is strictly on the day He was crucified and almost fixate on the cross and later in the tomb, but their eyes have been blinded. They can't see how much it's involved. It's a great love story beyond most people's comprehension. If they were properly understanding it, they would be here tomorrow night with us. Before we go any further, I just want to make sure you understand I am not minimizing the importance of Jesus Christ during the Passover. I'm simply addressing another layer, a vantage point that adds to, never that takes away. When we look at those symbols that we take tomorrow night, we're going to be acknowledging His amazing gift, His love. The entire Passover ceremony, the foot washing, is a remembering of Him, His love. The entire thing we do pictures Him. We all know that it was our Savior that endured the excruciating pain in His body, but pain was manifested in others during this horrific event. From the very beginning, it was part of a perfectly designed plan. But I ask you, just because it was known in advance and planned, does it make it easy for anyone who's involved to bear it? Today I want to look at the Passover through the eyes of a father. For those who like titles, this will serve as a title. Now, some of you may be aware of our daughter Alyssa's medical condition. And those who don't, I'll give you a quick explanation. She suffered from ulcerative colitis from birth. You know, after many trials and health scares, it led to having to have her colon removed. You know, it took three major surgeries and about over a little over a year of doctor visits. Now, due to circumstances, financial or my work, I couldn't be there for every appointment. And the most scary, most traumatic one taught me a life experience. Nissa was with her over in Seattle, And I stayed home in Spokane just to watch over Seth and, you know, make the money because I'd done exhausted all our expenses. So I was sitting there in constant prayer, just waiting for a phone call. It's a hard thing to not know what's going on every second when you have a situation with your child. So the phone rang. I was in a meeting, so I stepped out into the hall, and on the other end of that line was my child. Voice was faint. It was trembling, and I heard, "Daddy, they're coming to wheel me back for surgery, and I'm scared." My heart hurt in a manner that I never felt before in my life. I was at that moment broken and crying so much inside. Even to this very day, it hurts. It hurts speaking about it right now. You know, if I could have changed places with her, it would have been done. Just like any of you in this room with the four loved ones, especially our children, we would place ourselves in that position. Let them cut on us. Let them do what's necessary to us. But what good would it have done if I would have took her place? She was the one who would have to face this physically for her life to continue. And of course, I had to face it, and I had to get it. It was emotional pain. Although the fear was great, we were confident that the Father had provided this surgery. It had been proven to be His will. We even had Alyssa be part of the decision-making process. It's her body. So together, it was all planned well in advance. But as I mentioned earlier, it did not make it any easier for any of us to bear. The only hope that we had was the assurance from God that life would come from this surgery. I had to be strong within myself and had to comfort my child at the same time. Now, I remember comforting her by rehearsing all the planning, reminding her of all the prayers that had gone up in her behalf and her being anointed. It had been put in God's hands. All the people knew what was going on. I wasn't the only one. We weren't the only one sitting there worrying. We had many people on their hands and knees that day. The toughest part, though, was comforting my child that far away, not in my arms. It was a distance between us. My hope, though, lay in what God had promised in Romans 8:28, that all things would work together for the good to those who loved God, for those called according to His word. So how did that story fit, or how does it fit in preparing for the Passover? We'll be discussing a few similarities that I faced and the events surrounding the Passover. So let me explain to you real quick how the trial began to change my outlook and teach me more of God's paternal love. One day, as I sat and meditated, I thought it was time, because I did like everyone else. I put it away. I didn't want to think about it. It was a terrible time. But about a year later, I sat down before Passover and asked God, "What were you trying to put us through? What did you put us through? Why? There has to be a reason." And one day it came too. As I sat there and meditated, a familiar scripture echoed through my mind where Jesus Christ cried out across the vast distance towards heaven. And He said, "Father, if it be your will, let this cup pass from me." It's a very touching scene there in Matthew 23 or 26, paralleled also in Luke 22. You know, I heard my child cry out, and He knew exactly how I felt because He had experienced it Himself. Brother, let's think of this for just a few minutes. Let's put these two moments together. My child crying out from a distance, and the Son of God crying out to His Father from the garden. I want you to listen. Hear the voices of two children crying out for their father, reaching for comfort. Allow it to sink in. Make it real. Now I want you to do something else. I want you to place yourself in that scene. I want you to hear your own child, your own loved one, crying out. What's going through your mind? Is there a pain? Do you feel that need to just immediately reach out and rescue them? How did the Almighty Father feel when He heard His only begotten Son say, "Daddy, is there another way?" Although it had been predetermined, being face to face with a great trial, Jesus Christ, as a human, cried out to Abba. He cried out for help, comfort, and encouragement. Our Father at that moment had to exercise and express one of the most greatest, the greatest example of compassionate love for a son. It was a love that comforted, it was a love that restored vision, and it was a love that conquered fear. That love was a key to the whole situation. It was so powerful, so far-reaching, he was able to encourage his only son, who was completely human, vulnerable, facing a painful certain death, to continue on that path. Back to our trial. Lisa and I were separated. I was in Spokane, she was in Seattle, 300 miles away. The Father and Jesus, by their plan, were separated. But in both situations, a father's love reached far beyond any limitations and accomplished so much. True love, agape, has no boundaries. You know, also through this love, I also saw the importance of not interfering with God's plan and trusting in it wholeheartedly. When Jesus cried out, it would have been easy for the Father to say, "Bring me those legions of angels, rescue my son." But what good would it have done if he would have changed the course of the plan? He knew if he changed the situation that the desired outcome of Jesus Christ's first coming would have been in vain. Love reassured the present trial was momentary. Just beyond the horizon was life. Please join me in John chapter 16. John chapter 16, starting in verse 19. Now Jesus knew that they desired to ask him, and he said to them, "Are you inquiring among yourselves about what I said? A little while you will not see me, and again a little while you will see me. Most assuredly I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will be turned to joy. A woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she has given birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has born into the world. Therefore, you now have sorrow, but I will see you again. Your heart will rejoice, and your joy no one will take from you." You know, I give thanks that God, through him and through that love, we were able to endure our trial. You know, I see the end result. I see my child right there sitting in the audience, thriving. At the time, I tell you, it wasn't easy. It will test your faith. But if I had interfered with Alyssa's trial in that situation and let my emotions change what God had ordained, what he had placed in front of us and provided, I am thoroughly convinced that it would not have ended in the result it needed for her life to continue. In the heat of trials, it seemed unbearable, if not for that powerful love. Alone, we won't be settled, but through close contact and prayer, we can come to the point where we can cry out, covered by God's love, and say back, "Nevertheless, your will be done, not mine." His love's mighty, it's powerful, and through that love, life's most precious events are made possible. In our trial, it was life for Alyssa. In Jesus Christ's trial, it was resurrection and eternal life for all mankind. We are blessed to understand this and rehearse this every year at the Passover. But wouldn't it be great every time we face a trial, we have that connection for a clear vision? We can if we start to look at how the Father looked and understand how Jesus Christ during that time many years ago. You know, over in the book of Psalms, don't turn there, chapter 119, there's three verses, 18, 43, and 71, where you can put them together as one sentence, as David crying out saying, "Open my eyes that I may see, for I have hope in your ordinances. It is good for me to be afflicted so that I may learn." For a final set of scriptures, please turn over to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, and we'll start in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, that now for a little while you suffer. Indeed, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though the Passover events, we see them as painful, they can be horrific at times, we know why, and we know the end result. It's through the precious Passover ordinances that we keep each and every year that allows us to see the powerful love of a father and the trust of a child. I had the opportunity to see and experience from a father's perspective just how much a father's love can comfort and how compassion can help a child stay a course, especially when they feel distant and alone. During these final hours before the Passover, let's finish strong what we have started. When we look into our hearts and we see the end result of our self-examinations, we see the pain of sin, the trials that we've endured, and we cry out. Let's remember this lesson and know that our Father sees us. He loves us and would comfort us when we're terrified, when we feel alone and feel distant. His eyes see us. He sees the arms. He sees the knees bowed. He hears the cries of distress. When we face these tough trials and deal with painful situations, we can rest in assurance that the Father would cover us with his comforting love. Brethren, let's add to the experience by viewing the Passover through the eyes of a father. It's a wonderful way for each of us to see and learn more of our Father's compassion, more of his commitment. His sincere love will assist us in keeping a vision required to be there at Christ's return and establishment of his kingdom.